down, and that's where the benchmark pricing is going to kind of hover in this region. You like that?
I like that. It's good finger work. Benita Apple Boom, you gotta put me on. Benita Apple Boom, I said you gotta put me on. Benita Apple Boom, gotta put me on. Good morning.
What's up, guys? Welcome to this week's
MMM.
Oh, yeah.
McInnes Marketing Minute.
There we go. Welcome to this week's McInnes Marketing Minute, guys, where we're actually following on from our blog, video, podcast, however you're tuning in, from last week. And last week was about, did the market just turn? And judging by the numbers, it looked like it just turned. Maybe hit bottom is probably a better way of putting it.
Yeah, we still need to wait to see if this continues, if we can actually call it a trend. However, the month showed heightened sales numbers and softened listing numbers.
Yes.
Which is unique.
It's a positive sign. So essentially, whether you believe it or not, when the market hits a bottom, a lot of people are asking, well, what happens next when the market reaches a bottom? So that's what we're talking about today. So a lot of people believe real estate operates some kind of like a zigzag. So it's coming down, then it's going up, then it's coming down, then it's going up, it's coming down, then it's going up. When in reality, that's actually not what happens. Usually if you're looking at a traditional, comes down, then you have a more of a steady period, which is also known as the buoyant market, and then it will either go up or go down again.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely what our market is in for. If it's right now, if the trend is actually starting now, or if we flutter around a bit more, inevitably once the trend does start, I think buoyancy is definitely the way it's going to sit for, I believe, quite a while. I don't think once you've got resistance and a variety of consistent numbers to show with regards to the comps, that it'll jump up right away. I think it's going to stay relatively buoyant for some time, personally.
Yeah, so bad news for those of you who are trying to sell your place and you've been holding off because the market's going down and now you've seen these figures and you think it's all of a sudden going up again. We personally believe it's going to remain at a bit of a buoyant level based on just our professional opinion, our time in the business. There's a lot of talk about like Hong Kong, recession in the US, obviously our government elections coming up. And it's true they can have an impact on things, but until they actually happen and have that impact, we don't know how large or how minimal it will be. And there's some, obviously, like the recession, for example, could be extremely negative on a housing market, whereas a lot of people are claiming that the situation in Hong Kong is going to change our market tremendously for the better. So it's a lot of hearsay until it actually happens. So we believe it's going to remain buoyant. So what happens now is you've got like an adjusted market value. The benchmark has been set and it kind of sticks around that number. So if the new benchmark for a particular condo is $1 million, then it's going to hover around that $1 million range, rather than those people who are saying, okay, well, it's at $1 million now. I'm going to wait for it to come down even further, maybe to 950, and then I'm going to jump on it. It's come down, and that's where the benchmark pricing is going to kind of hover in this region. You like that?
I like that. It's good finger work. With Ben's past points, all these third parties, things like the circumstance in Hong Kong currently, again, the U.S. economy, the election, things like this, even if they are kind of on our shores or not, these are very, we get asked all the time by buyers and sellers what we think these things will do if they're triggered. These are very third party possibilities. Obviously, no one has a crystal ball. If you're waiting for one of these circumstances that we don't control, we're just kind of being a secondary effect to happen, if you want the market to go up or down. I don't believe that's the right strategy. If you're sitting and watching and you're not anticipating buying or selling, then obviously, fair enough. Watch what the world does and if it has an effect on us, but I don't believe that those things will directly have an effect right away. And they may affect us directly once they do trigger off, and they may not. So it's not kind of, I don't want to look at those or position those or give those things a credibility of benchmarks or fundamentals that are going to change our market, because I don't think it's at that point yet with any of those things.
Yeah, so the only thing that we can go by is the here and now. So what actually happens from here, assuming we are at the bottom, is pretty much exactly what we've been saying for the last, I feel like forever, is adjusting expectations. So now new benchmarks are set in terms of pricing, days on market, things like that. It's, again, sellers adjusting and buyers adjusting to what that new benchmark is. It just means now we're at more of a buoyant level, that those numbers are not going to fluctuate too drastically. They may kind of like peter off here and there a little bit, but it's just adjusting those expectations. So if you're a seller and you have your property listed, it has been listed for a while, and your strategy is now, okay, well, we've hit a buoyant market, so my property is going to sell, you're likely not going to be successful. Again, as a buyer, if you're waiting for a property price to reduce to what's in your range, you're likely not going to be successful if it's already at the market value range. So it's adjusting those expectations to the new buoyancy, because home buyer demand has increased, and it did increase in July. However, that's based on the expectation that prices are not going to keep dropping, and not on a level that prices are going to start going up again. So it's just about adjusting your expectations to where the market is currently.
Yeah, and sellers, don't shoot yourself in the foot by saying, okay, if the market is now buoyant, I'm going to try and rebuild a new high. Like Ben said, if you've already been on and you haven't had success, that means you are still not within a feasible negotiating percentage of market value that people are coming in and getting the job done with your property. So don't think just because we've possibly seen a floor that all of a sudden you can try and build new highs again, or push the market even further, or adjust the other way because there is some footing.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
Again, you're just gonna shoot yourself in the foot. Date back to our arrogant seller video.
One of our most popular ones, I think.
Oh yes.
But yeah, so as always, we're suggesting, guys, a lot of deals don't come together because, and it's less to do about market value, and it's more just based on price, ego, pride, things like that. These things get in the way of you actually creating a successful deal. That's why we keep on stressing, look at the figures which are actually going to assist you. Things like price per square foot, days on market, comparable solds. They don't have any ego, they don't have any pride attached. It makes no difference. They are just the good old fashioned numbers in which you should be going by, which is basically going to peter off into where your offer should be if you're a buyer, or where your pricing should be if you're a seller. It's these figures that we're still recommending to go by, especially now as they've kind of leveled out, and that's going to treat you with success in this market. Again, if you're looking just because it's stabilized that you can start setting new highs, or your overpriced property is going to sell, or you can still bid way under the asking price and still capture a place, you're going to be 9 times out of 10 unsuccessful, and there's a drastic circumstance. Bonita apple bloom, you gotta put me on. Bonita apple bloom, I said you gotta put me on.